Good morning, everyone, to those here and those online. It's wonderful to be here in God's presence this morning, isn't it? Just been so blessed through the time of worship that we've had. And just thank you to Sam again for leading us and for the Lord being with us. He's good, isn't he? We sang, God is good. We sang it many times. I hope you believe it. I hope it wasn't just a song for you. I hope it's the hope it witnesses with your spirit that God is good. Amen. So this is our last Sunday on the topic of reconnect on our series. My topic for this morning is two things. It's fellowship and sharing. So I've got a lot to get through, but I'll do what I can do. And let me just pray and then I'll make a start. So Lord, we just thank you for being with us this morning by your spirit. Thank you for your church. That's us here. Online and here in the room. Lord, thank you that this is a day, a time of encounter with you and a time to hear your voice and to receive from you, to give to you and to receive from you. And we just ask you that you'll speak to us this morning, continue to speak to us, spoken already to us through the songs, through the words of those songs. But we pray, speak to us now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you probably know, our key passage for this series is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And we've looked at these several aspects of this passage. And the verses I'm looking at really are verse 42, which hopefully will come up. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And just as I began to think about this theme of fellowship and sharing, this word devoted really like jumped out at me. Devoted. They were devoted. And there's really four things mentioned here, and I'm focusing on fellowship. But the fact was, they devoted themselves to fellowship. It wasn't that they devoted themselves to going to meetings or just to meetings or just to studying the Bible or just to praying or just to worship. They were devoted to each other. It was right up there as a priority alongside the Word of God, the teaching and prayer and the breaking of bread. These things are all important, but fellowship is right up there as important as those other things. And this word devoted, if you take one thing away from this message this morning, is that we're called as God's people to be devoted to him and to one another. It's not an option. It's not optional. We're called to be devoted to one another, to love one another. We know that, I'm sure, but I just really want to make that point very clearly. As you probably know, or you may not know, but Acts chapter 2 is about the day of Pentecost and what happened, the birthday of the church. The amazing things happened on the day of Pentecost. God poured out his Holy Spirit. There was a sound of a rushing wind, and people that were gathered in that place who received the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues, and these were languages that they hadn't learned. They were God-given languages, and as they spoke in these tongues, they were speaking about God. They were speaking about God's amazing works, and what was interesting was that people around them in the area heard this noise, and they came to find out what was going on. Why was there such a noise of people shouting and praising God? And as they came, these were people from different nations, they heard their own languages being spoken. It wasn't Hebrew that they heard. I assume that's the language that was from the area where the people were, or Aramaic. It was the languages that they heard, that they knew. These were people from dispersed parts of Asia. And they heard about God in their own languages. So it was an amazing thing. And Peter, who was the sort of lead apostle at that time, he stood up and he preached, and that day 3,000 people were saved. Amen. 3,000 people were added to the church that day. What an amazing start to the church, of 3,000 people being added to those first disciples. So this is the kind of backdrop to this little section that we're looking at. We're very, very new into things here in this verse 42, where it says that they were devoted to these things. Literally, Peter had preached this sermon, and people had been saved, and he'd explained the gospel, and then this is the practice that we read about, that they were devoted to these four things. So let's look at verse 46, and it says, they worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I want you to notice this word each day or every day. This wasn't church on Sundays or on the Sabbath. This was every day. There was such a passion and such a hunger and such a fire in their hearts that they were meeting every day. And you might think that's a bit radical, over the top, but there was a reason for it. It was that God had done such an amazing thing. God's Spirit had been poured out for the first time in this way. He'd been with people, upon people in before Christ, but this was the first time he actually came into people and made this incredible difference. And they couldn't get enough of God, but also they couldn't get enough of being together, which is quite amazing, isn't it? And I think this is really a core value of the church, is to be together in fellowship. Another thing that's interesting is that Jesus hadn't told them what to do exactly. He told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, but he hadn't told them what they should be doing when they met together. This was, like I say, this was the Holy Spirit. They were just doing what came naturally to them, what was just obvious to them, that they were hungry. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were desperate to be together. They had such a fire in their hearts that they needed to be together to worship God and to hear from God, to learn from the Word of God, to pray, to break bread, which they had done, Jesus' disciples had done with him. There was just such an eagerness, such a hunger, such a desperation to be together. So they weren't looking at a manual. What does the church do? This was the first church. This was the primitive or the first church. And they were just doing what the Holy Spirit taught them. And so I think it's wonderful, isn't it, when the Holy Spirit just directs things and tells people what to do without them thinking, okay, what should we be doing? Or what does this book say we should be doing? They were doing what God had just poured into their hearts. They were just outworking what was in their hearts, which was to be together in fellowship. I might be stating something really obvious here, but our Christian faith is a community faith. It's not just for us as individuals. It is for us as individuals, but we're a community, we're a family, we're a body. And in our society here in the West, we're very individualistic, aren't we? We have our emphasis on ourselves and living as individuals, and we're not so community-minded perhaps as other cultures, perhaps more in the East or perhaps in African cultures as well. They're more community-minded. We're very individualistic. So what I want to say is that kingdom culture is different to our individualistic Western culture. Kingdom culture is together culture. It's about being together. It's about caring for each other. This was what Jesus brought about, a complete change where these people only wanted to be together and to look out for each other. So kingdom culture trumps natural earthly culture, whatever that is. Perhaps if you're from a culture that's more community-minded, it's helpful to be more kingdom-minded and more concerned for each other in the church. But whatever our culture and whatever our personality, we're brought into a community, into a family. We need to be mindful of that. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, and I found these three things happened to me, at least three things, but these three things were very clear. I had a hunger for the Word of God, I had a hunger for prayer, and I had a hunger to meet with other Christians. And I took every opportunity to meet with other Christians. I remember even as a teenager, I remember once going to a meeting the other side of the city on my own because I wanted to be in a prayer meeting with others. And I trust it's the same today for me. And I trust and hope that, expect that for many of you that's the same, that you have a priority in your life of meeting with other Christians. So let's ask the question, why? Why is community important? Why is being devoted to one another important? I believe it's because God is best experienced in the context of relationships. He's best experienced together and not on our own. He is experienced on our own, but he's better experienced together. Also, he's a God of relationship, and he himself exists as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are in constant fellowship, constant communion. So he wants us to be in that same place. Obviously, if you have no opportunity to meet with other Christians, then that's okay. But if we've got the opportunity to meet with Christians, then that's the way God wants us to do it. It's very similar to in human relationships. If we take the example of a married couple, if I can just take the example of Ola and Wally here, sitting here just in front of me, probably say that no one knows Ola quite as well as Wally, and probably vice versa. You know, they have the closest relationship to anyone else. But then Wally doesn't know everything about Ola, and Ola doesn't know everything about Wally. Is that true? And there'll be other people. It will take other people to draw out certain facets of Ola that Wally doesn't see, and the other way around. It takes more people to see and to understand and to experience and draw out other aspects of people's personalities than just one person that knows that person really well. And it's that way with the church. Often when we gather together and pray with others, we just hear God. We hear something from somebody else that is just that we can kind of come up with ourselves. You know, we learn. We're richer by being together, by learning from each other. Romans 12, verse 10. Says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And in the version I looked at, it said, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. So this wasn't just the early church of those that were there. Paul is teaching and he's actually commanding, be devoted to one another and honor one another above yourselves. So, like I said, we don't have a choice here. This is a commandment from God through the Apostle Paul. We need to be devoted to one another. I'm going to move on a little and look at the aspect of sharing. And if we look at verses 44 and 45, it says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day and met in people's homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So they shared their property and possessions so that no one had need. And so we see that this early church, this new church, was very practical. It wasn't just about praising God. It was about praising God. It wasn't just about praying. It wasn't just about this new language that they'd been given where they could express themselves to God. It was about practically caring for each other. And so that no one had need. They sold, this is radical, isn't it? They sold their possessions so they could provide for those in need. And I think this is the model for us of church, that we should be prepared to care that much for each other, that we're prepared to give away what we have to meet needs. In 1 John 3:17, John says something very similar. He says, if someone has enough money to live well, and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? So if we have money and we see someone in need and we don't do anything about it, we don't give them that money, how can God's love be in us? This love has to be practical, has to be outworked. We have to, if we have God's love in us, we have to do something about people in need. I'm not saying that we don't. And I'm aware and I've experienced over the years in this church, I've seen it with my own eyes and I've been on the receiving end of practical demonstration of sharing to meet people's needs. I've seen people share by opening their homes for people to stay in their homes. That's a sacrifice, but people have done that. I've even benefited from people having me stay. I remember some years ago, somebody lent me their car because my car was broken down, and they lent me their car. They trusted me with their car because my parents were over and I needed transport. And that's just another example of practical sharing of what we have with those that need. And I think it remains a challenge to us that we continue to be mindful of each other's needs and be reminded that we should share, that if we have, we should share with those around us. I want to just briefly look at another type of sharing, and it's expressed in the book of Thessalonians, and it's the Apostle Paul talking about his love for the church. So it's 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, and he says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. So here we see the pastoral heart of the Apostle Paul. He said we shared not just God's news, good news, that's the gospel, but we shared our own lives. And we see here a heart, an incredible heart to give in the Apostle Paul, that it wasn't enough to just bring a message. He gave of himself. He gave his own life for this church in Thessalonica. And I think sharing then goes beyond just giving financially, giving our possessions, our material goods. It goes as far as sharing ourselves, giving of ourselves. When we go to people, when we share with people, we're not just supposed to teach and share messages. We're instructed here to give of ourselves, to actually give all that we are. That's the example that Paul gives to us. Had an incredible pastoral heart. And just in terms of sharing life, I'll try and give a practical example again about our church, is that we have something called life groups. And you may be in a life group or you may not be in a life group, but life groups are essentially smaller groups where we get together to share, to fellowship, to pray together, to study, to think about important topics that are biblical and Christian themes. But they're called life groups because we share life together. That's why they're called life groups. And I just encourage you, if you're not in a life group, to consider to talk to somebody to find out about our life groups, because we need to be connected. We need to be sharing lives together. If you're on your own and something difficult happens, who do you turn to? We all need people that we can share those situations with for prayer and for support. And we're called to share our lives together. And then my final reference, I just want to look very briefly, very, very briefly, at living generously. And I'm going to quote a verse from the Message, and it's from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. I'm hoping it will come up. But it says this: don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And there's a lot that I could unpack there, which I don't have time to. But you just see something of the heart of Jesus in these words about being generous with forgiveness and with people's faults and with people's failures. This is so real and so practical, isn't it? To be generous with forgiveness, to overlook people's faults. It says if we are hard with people, that will boomerang, that will come back to us. People will be hard with us. And give away your life and you'll find life given back. We're called to be given, both with our possessions, with our time and with who we are, and also with God's gifts of forgiveness and of generosity and of patience and those things. So just in conclusion, I'm just going to go back then to remind you of this devotion to one another in fellowship. I know that in our context at the moment, that we're in a time where we're hoping to regather as a church, and there's uncertainty around that, isn't there? But really, that's something that we're hoping to do, to regather. But I just believe that we live in a difficult time, particularly difficult time with this pandemic, a time of uncertainty, a time of hurt, a time of confusion. And I just feel that more than ever, we need to be devoted to each other as God's church. That even if we do continue to have some restrictions for some time, that we need to really take this to heart, that we are devoted to one another. We're devoted firstly to Jesus, of course, but we're devoted to one another in love. And just wanted to lay this challenge that even if we continue with restrictions for some time, that we would seek this heart given by the Holy Spirit to be devoted to one another, to care about one another, to take the opportunities we have for fellowship, to take the opportunities to support one another. This is what the church is. And if I was just to give one definition of church, it would be a people devoted to God and devoted to each other. So that's my encouragement and my challenge this morning. Let's be devoted to one another. And I'm going to invite Sam to come up and lead us in a final song. Thanks.